The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
And a good morning, everybody, on this Tuesday, the 28th day of March 2023. The first thing that I wanted to do today is to thank you for the beginning of our 30th year together on DFW Radio. It was 29 years ago today that I strapped in here in the big town back in my native Texas, and I have enormous gratitude. And I had some thoughts about that, and I'll maybe get to them later because something has risen that we need to address first and foremost. In these 29 years that we have spent together, we have talked about a lot of things. We have talked about a lot of triumph and a lot of tragedy. We've talked about a lot of things that were uplifting and a lot of things that were depressing. Just sort of navigating the path through life. And this morning is one of those days. A monster, once again, found her way into the halls of a school and exacted a toll that is unimaginable. Three beautiful babies, three kids, three adults. There'll be a lot to say about the shooter. We'll get to that here in a minute. A name I don't want to say. The names I do want to say are these. The three children, age 9, Evelyn Diekhaus, William Kinney, and Hallie Scruggs. Hallie in particular wraps around our hearts locally because she is the daughter of Chad Scruggs, former associate pastor at Park City's Presbyterian. Just a few years ago, they moved to Nashville. And in fact, just a couple of weeks ago, Pastor Chad Scruggs came from his still fresh gig there in Nashville to come back and deliver some sermons at Park City's Presby. And I've got some of the things that he had to say, some of it about the afterlife, some of it about the reward that awaits us all, no matter how this life goes. And now his beautiful daughter is in the arms of the Lord. He did not see that coming. Nobody did. The three adults, Mike Hill, Cynthia Peake, and the head of school, a woman named Catherine Kuntz, so highly regarded, people who were loved, people who had a calling to serve the Lord and serve children. There are two other names that I want to mention, that I eagerly mention today. And those are the names of the officers who shot this monster dead in her tracks before she could kill further. They are Officer Rex Engelbert and Officer Michael Colazzo. This is how you do it. It shouldn't be noteworthy. I mean, it's always noteworthy. It's always heroic. But when I identify what happened, and you know, I mean, if you kept track of any of the coverage yesterday, there was shooting. Evil was having its way inside the halls of that school. First responders actually responded. They didn't gather and hover over their phones. They didn't twiddle their thumbs and wonder who was in charge. Officer Rex Engelbert and Officer Michael Colazzo leapt toward the sounds of gunfire and took down this monster. Before we talk a little bit about this person and some of what the motivations might have been and some of what the coverage was, which was particularly interesting in view of what these motivations might have been, something we do every day, but particularly today, Lord, as we gather on this particular morning to ask some things of you. We ask for your loving embrace of those lost in Nashville yesterday. These three beautiful angels and the three adult staff members serving in that building, in that community. Lord, guide us to be more vigilant in our own lives, to keep our eyes and hearts open, to guide people to you and to your word, knowing that we will never be able to stop all evil, but that we can do a better job of crafting a society in which more people are moving toward you than away from you. We ask for your healing power and for your love to wrap around the community of Nashville and around the loved ones of those lost in this tragedy. Lord, guide us and protect us as we face the challenges of this new day. We thank you every day for this blessed nation and your hand in creating it. Fill our hearts with the energy to protect the freedoms which come from you, which our nation was founded to protect. Let us navigate these troubling times with a positive spirit, treating others as we would want to be treated. Lord, these are times of trial and challenge. Lift us as we follow your word and work for a better America, where our schools are safe, where our Constitution is honored, where our elections are reliable, our borders work, where we protect the unborn and fight for the meaning and the intent of the two genders you created, and where our differences are hashed out with honesty and goodwill, and our freedoms of speech and worship are protected. As we face each day's problems, give us the clarity to look around and cherish our many blessings in our nation, our great state of Texas, our communities, and our families. If we follow you, Lord, we know we can get through anything. Anything. And we ask these things in your holy name. Amen. So once again, vigils in Nashville last night as people turned to God for comfort after tragedies, which is a beautiful thing to do. It once again sparks in me the urge to tell people to maybe turn toward God before tragedies. That maybe if we were doing a better job of policing our own lives and being watchful and aware of what's going on. It's not that we're going to be able to stop all of it. We'll never stop all of it. It's a human system. It's a fallen world. Life will always be big and messy, but we can do better. I have no idea what kind of signals this woman gave off. She is a woman born Audrey Hale in 1995. As the story took shape yesterday, obviously after this show, and I'm just sort of going about regular pieces of business, and then it's like school shooting, and it's like, you know, you go slump shouldered and you go, oh Lordy, here we go again. And of course the gunshots had not stopped ringing in the halls of this Christian school before the left began its chortling, its scolding, its posturing, that basically this is conservatives' fault, Republicans' fault, the NRA's fault, Trump's fault, throw it all in, whatever you want. They don't want to do the heavy lifting. They want to take your guns. They want to blame your politics, rather than embrace a solution that has nothing to do with politics and everything to do with improving our society in ways that government will never be able to do, in ways that only we, as the members of society, can do. By leading better lives, leading others to lead better lives, providing better examples, raising better kids, pulling our heads out of our orifices and realizing what we are doing to some people. And yes, here it comes, with the coddling of the mental illness of gender dysphoria. Now, I have no idea and would not say that I totally know that this woman had her brain bent by gender dysphoria, and that made other twigs snap inside her to where she erupted in a frustrated hate crime against a building full of people who don't agree with her about this. Because while she, with her he, him pronouns posted on her website, while she, with her desire to wander through life in a dysphoric haze of gender confusion, the notion of being confronted, well, not confronted, the notion of occupying the same universe with people who believe that God did not make a mistake when she was born female. She was not assigned birth. Purge that language. No one is assigned gender, assigned a sex at birth. No one is assigned anything. You are what you are. She was born a girl. God did not make a mistake that day. The notion of assignment of birth is the horrific, ghoulish language of trans radicalism, where when you pop out, it's like, well, now we got to figure out whether we got a boy or a girl. Let's assign gender. Well, I got a better idea. Take a look. Yep, that's a boy. Next one. Yep, that's a girl. Nobody's assigning anything. That's the way God made us. That's the way science defines us. So anyway, the pesky science thing and the really pesky God thing might have gotten under this woman's skin to such a degree. And I'll tell you, do not discount the rage and the fury and the meanness and the psychosis of some of these people driven by these political strains. Put something up on Twitter just a couple of moments ago. I had seen this. It's apparently coming up on April 1st. They might want to replan and reschedule this event. The Trans Day of Vengeance. Ah, there's good timing. That's a good look. The Trans Day of Vengeance at the Supreme Court. Oh, won't that be nice? April 1st, 11 a.m. Stop trans genocide. Really? Genocide is when you kill a group of people. If you want to see the killing of a group of people, look at Nashville yesterday. That's the killing of a group of people. The coverage was interesting. In the leftist corridors of the media culture, it's like, hey, school shooting, we dig that. Any opportunity to glom onto that? Because here comes another opportunity to blame Republicans, blame conservatives, blame the Second Amendment, blame the NRA, blame Trump, blame whoever. And then, woman shooter? That's weird. Gave him a little bit of pause. Wait a minute, woman shooter identifying as a man? Oh, red alert, pull up. Can't cover this as enthusiastically as we might, because now we have a narrative that might involve a psychotic trans monster with a brain scrambled by the most basic of dysfunctions. When you don't know what you are, not only when you don't know, if you're confused, confusion is one thing. Rebellion is another. When you hate what God made you, when you are engaged in the self-loathing and the despair and the burden of walking around, oh, I feel like I'm trapped in the wrong body. No, you're not. You have the right body. What you need is the right mind. And we used to be geared to making people better. If somebody has an eating disorder, if a skeletally thin 15-year-old girl says, I'm fat, we don't take her to liposuction to buy into that fantasy. We don't coddle that mental illness. We say, darling, sit down. We got to talk. We got to get you some help. And yet, a 14-year-old girl can think she's a boy. A 12-year-old boy can think he's a girl. Or an adult can think, hey, I am what I am not. And we say, yay, let's go with that. And not only do we celebrate that mental dysfunction, we brutalize people who aren't along for the ride. At this Covenant School in Nashville, they were not along for the ride. They live by the word of God, the God who makes us male and female, the God who defines what male and female mean. And that is mightily conflicting to the people who are suffering from gender dysphoria. I pray for them every day. I pray for mental health for these people, every single one of them. I pray for a society, for an America, for a world that has grown so sick and so fallen that we've abandoned our responsibility. We have, in the legislature yesterday, got some, I don't know if we'll get to this, you know, right up front, but Tony Tenderholt, state rep from Arlington, talking to a certified psychologist, a psychologist, God help us, a psychologist, testifying. I'm going to say we got to do some things to help these kids, these trans kids. There's no such thing as a trans child. There is no such thing as a trans child. Confused child, gender dysphoric child, no such thing. And we have doctors and professionals and parents so fallen, so twisted, so perverted away. And listen, this doesn't even have to be a faith argument. It is for me. It doesn't have to be for you. These are the genders that God created, but that science defines. You can walk around, be a stone-cold agnostic, be a straight-up atheist, and this still makes sense. You are what you are. And if you don't know what you are, or you think you're something other than what you are, that is a dissociative disorder. That is a mental illness. So, as I said a few minutes ago, I do not know that in a fit of rage against a building not on board for her conversion, she chose to exact the most cruel of tolls. Don't know, but we may find out through the manifesto. Ah, yes, another manifesto. I hate when they are called that because it gives an almost scholarly heft to something that is usually just the ravings of a lunatic, but hey, it's a word that works, and I usually am the person to say, do not publish it. Do not let it out. You kind of have to because it's part of public record. It's part of evidence, and we have a public law enforcement system, so it's going to get out. But I think my favorite thing is for most people, just in the internet, in the modern world, it'll be absolutely everywhere. This one needs to get out to some degree so that we can be accurate about this. And see if she actually did say something like, I'll show these people. I'll make them pay for disagreeing with me. Is that in there? I don't know. We will see. All right, a couple of more things on this. Our visit with Mike Gallagher coming up, 7:35. This, of course, and other things going on in the news. You are welcome on the phone lines and, of course, on the Patriot Mobile text line where already things are moving quickly as our heads and our hearts are wrapped around the latest. And just, boy, 30 seconds. Can they please stop? Can the gun grabbers please? Can't even get these babies laid in the ground before the politics, before the politicization, the mocking of thoughts and prayers. I pray for those people, too. Those are hearts that are hurting. Those are souls that are dark. I ask God to give them peace and clarity. We can agree, disagree on gun laws. Of course we can. It's fine. We disagree about everything. That's fine. But the meanness, the dark hearts, the brutality shown to people of faith and to people who recognize, like the nose on our faces, that this ain't the Second Amendment's fault. We do not have a gun problem. We have a people problem. 7:24. Coming up on 7:30 and our visit with Gordon Griffin in the newsroom, and then our segment with Mike Gallagher. He will join us, and you will too. Coming up 8:05, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick. We got a lot to talk about in terms of Texas government. We'll talk, speaking of gender stuff, we'll talk about why there aren't enough Republicans seriously and solidly on board to stop this nonsense. And we'll talk a little bit about gambling. Does the lieutenant governor have it in his mind to simply stand in the way of both of the gambling bills, one about casinos and one about the online sports betting. So Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, 805, 835. We're going to welcome the school board president, the Carroll ISD in Southlake, where they have separated themselves, thank goodness, from the poisonous, trans-radicalized Texas Association of School Boards. So, boy, common thread through today's stories. It is 731. Mark Davis, Gordon Griffin is in the newsroom. I was just in the mood to do some Chris Tomlin or just something, Mike, on these days. And these days will come. They will come. And the question is, how will we react to them? And what will we do? And where will our hearts and our heads be? So I'm just glad to welcome you and just sort of offer you the talking stick and see what your thoughts are. We talked some yesterday. And here we are this morning.
I'm so grateful for your prayerful mood today. And that's what is needed. In fact, that's what too many of us are rejecting. There was a Wall Street Journal poll that just came out yesterday, an amazing poll that shows that things like faith, religious faith, patriotism, having children, and priorities that have helped define our national character for generations, they are in dramatic decline.
Yep.
Americans are rejecting faith, patriotism. We mock, I say we, I mean people mock prayers. Yeah. That has become a punchline. You're not allowed to pray. In fact, there was a guy yesterday in Nashville who was forced to almost apologize for all the praying that was going on. And he said, that's the way we do things here in the South.
Yep.
I mean, you know, and yet it's become a pejorative. It's something that is mocked. I think that we can connect lots of dots. A Wayne State University professor was suspended with pay after he wrote on Facebook the other day that it is more admirable to kill a conservative speaker on campus than it is to just shout them down.
Great.
Stephen Shapiro, a College of Liberal Arts and Sciences professor, wrote in a Facebook post just this past Sunday that while he believes it's far more admirable to kill a racist, homophobic or transphobic speaker than it is to shout them down. And he went through this whole thing about the analogy was, if you had a chance to kill Hitler, wouldn't you have?
Yes, right.
So a conservative speaker is Adolf Hitler. So
of course,
this is the rabbit hole we're down. I just would urge, I think all of us need to be thoughtful and prayerful, but also have a level head. Yesterday, Judge Jeanine, who I love, said on Fox News, because there were some erroneous reports that there was a door left open. It sounded like Uvalde all over again.
Yeah.
It wasn't a door open. The shooter blew the doors out.
Blasted through a locked door and then climbed through it. Exactly.
I mean, the video surveillance has now been released already. It's chilling, showing the killer, the monster, shooting the glass doors out. Yeah. These are soft. That's what a soft target looks like. And Jeanine Pirro said, they just need to lock the damn door.
Yeah.
Well, the door was locked. And schools know to lock doors, but schools also know that shooters can blow the glass doors out. They can blow a window out without an. I saw something last night. I was actually listening in the car to Fox News, and I heard the liberal, the lefty on the five, Jessica Tarloff, say something that made my blood run cold.
I bet I know.
She said, the image of armed guards in our elementary schools is way more traumatic for those children than anything else. And Jesse Waters was so incredulous, he said, oh, really? More traumatic than this?
Exactly.
Than being slaughtered in the classroom?
She scolded conservatives for saying, hey, aren't you folks the guys who say, hey, let's not traumatize our kids with trans radicalism and CRT and with all of this sexualization of kids? We are robbing them of a childhood. Well, I'll tell you what robs them of childhood, she said. Armed guards at every door. Well, you know what really robs them of childhood? Being shot and killed.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Jessica's got kids. She must never take her kids through the airport, because they must really be traumatized seeing all those armed guards in the airport. She must never go to the bank. She must never go to a mall. Are you kidding me? And I'm sorry. We go to our corners, and I'm sick of it. I'm so sick of the way we retreat to our tribal corner. The left says it's about the guns. The right says it's evil, and we need more guns. Well, let me tell you what it is. It is evil, And we need armed guards.
Of course.
In our schools.
And I hate that. And it's sad. I wish it were, you know, Pleasantville 1923 or whatever you want to do, where none of this was necessary and things like this just didn't happen. I wish that. But you can't live in the world that you wish were true. You have to live in the world that actually exists. And, of course, it's sad and unfortunate that arming up at our schools is a good idea. But that doesn't erase the fact that it is a good idea and, in fact, a necessary idea.
I would argue it's the only way.
Yeah.
If we can stipulate that the doors were locked at this Christian school, okay, you can lock the doors all day long.
Yeah.
If somebody's got a weapon, and surely people on the left understand that banning a certain type of gun isn't going to prevent bad people from getting certain types of guns.
Well,
it doesn't make any sense,
Mark. One of two things is true. When you have someone saying that, because everyone was saying it yesterday, the people who say, hey, what we need is more gun control. What we need is an assault weapons ban, which is a meaningless term. When the people say that, they are either dumb as a mud fence or they just sincerely don't know. They're either dumb as a mud fence and just sincerely don't know any better, or they absolutely know better and are simply treacherously trying to disarm the public. So you get to pick one.
I don't like the name call, but frankly, if you think that kids are going to be traumatized by having armed police officers or security guards in a school, you're dumb as a mud fence.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Jessica Tarloff, I don't know her. Yeah. I know folks who know her at Fox. They
Seems
love her.
Like
she's
nice. Yeah.
She's probably a lovely lady, but and this is not, I don't think she's evil. I don't think she's mean. I think she's dumb as a mud fence. I'm sorry. I mean, she doesn't complain about guards anywhere else. Is she afraid of police officers? Does she want her little child to meet the friendly neighborhood cop who, oh, by the way, has a gun strapped to his or her waist?
Yeah.
They're not kids aren't traumatized by good guys with guns.
No, they are
but
not.
This is the way they think, Mark. The left thinks this way. They are so delusional. They are so misguided. They're so terrified by the inanimate object of a gun. And, you know, gosh, you can go back 100 years to Wayne LaPierre. The only way to stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. And incidentally, that's what happened yesterday in Nashville.
It sure is.
The bad guy with the gun got killed by the good guys with the guns. That's what happened yesterday. You know how many more lives would have been taken? And let me, final note on this, and I want to talk about politics, too, for a moment.
Sure.
Boy, did I get into it yesterday with a caller from Arizona, Mac from Goodyear, Arizona, who never going to listen to me again. I'm a shill for Donald Trump, and I want to get to that in just a moment. But I think that the manifesto from this killer matters. I think we ought to look at motive. I don't want to mention the killer's name. I could care less. Evil is evil. There are straight people, gay people, trans people who are evil to the core. They're rotten. They're miserable. And I think we can twist ourselves into a pretzel focusing on a motive. Everything I've read so far, including the final text messages from the killer, the killer didn't want to live anymore. The killer was despondent. The killer said, I want to die. I don't want to live anymore. You're going to see me in the news. You're going to read about me. The manifesto supposedly contains a list of grievances against the school and the fact that she had to go to the school. She didn't want to go to the school. Evil is evil. I get my eyes glaze over when I start to worry about, did the person wet the bed when they were 9? Was their daddy mean to them? Where did they come from? What was their background? This was a targeted attack on a Christian school. Full stop. And let me break it to you. If this had been a Muslim school, a Jewish school, an African-American school, the media would be in a complete feeding frenzy,
no
a thousand times
it.
More. But when it's a bunch of little Christian kids and these beautiful adults who were shepherding these children, that's not really a hate crime. That's not really quite that big a deal now, is it?
Indeed,
and that's,
so.
And it will and that's
be,
sick.
It is terrible. It is terrible.
It's terrible.
And
it's
to fit
terrible.
To before you pivot into what we definitely want to have time for is the names that we do want to remember are those, of course, who were lost yesterday. But let us also remember Officer Rex Engelbert and Officer Michael Collazo. They heard gunfire. They ran toward it. They did not twiddle
Heroes.
Their thumbs. They didn't hover over their phones. They didn't wonder who was in charge. I am sorry for the Uvalde references. I'm so sorry. But this is how you do it. May God bless those first responders.
heroes, okay. And may everybody have a good guy with a gun in the vicinity when a bad guy shows up. I don't care if you're at the mall. I don't care if you're at a shopping center. Yeah. I don't care if you're in a classroom. May God bless that area with a good guy with a gun to protect the innocent lives who are going to be shattered by these monsters who are among us, and we have monsters among us. Now, let me share with you. I'm getting a lot of flack because I mixed it up pretty good with good old Mac from Goodyear. Yes. A little backstory. Mac from Goodyear is what we call in the business a chronic. He's called the show a gazillion times. He wants to be on the air, and that's fine. But his beef with me was he's never going to listen again because I'm a complete and total shill for Donald Trump.
Hmm.
Now, here's what's happening. And I went back and listened to the call.
Yes.
And in the exchange, because I called him back, because I cut him short, and I hate to be disrespectful, he's a blowhard, wants to be on the air, and I've got a special phone that doesn't ring when people call it, because I used to work in the government, and I protected Trump, and I don't know what the guy's whole story was, but his point, he's a DeSantis supporter, and I get it, he's turned against Trump. Mm-hmm. He wanted to argue with me about institutions like Fox News that are turning away from Trump. Now, despite Hannity's one-on-one with Trump last night,
right. Do
you know Fox didn't carry 1 second of Trump's first major campaign rally in Waco, Texas? They didn't carry a second of it. That's an editorial decision.
It sure is.
They're making a choice. Now, listen, they have a right to make a choice. It's their network. But don't pretend it's not happening.
Yep.
He wants to, they covered it. They talked about it all weekend.
It was on a Saturday.
You want to see Arthel Neville instead for 2 hours? Give me a break. They could have carried the speech, and they chose not to carry the speech. They wanted to go with Arthel. But here's what's happening. The people that were mad at me for mixing it up with Mac, it's real simple. If you're a DeSantis supporter, you think I'm a Trump shill. Guess what? I'm getting it from Trump supporters who think I'm a DeSantis shill.
Which proves you're doing it exactly right. If everybody's upset with you, you probably must be even-handed.
I guess so, because I'm going to let the people decide, and I'm with you. I let the game come to me, and the voters get to. But see, when Fox chooses not to carry the Waco rally, they're trying to influence the primary. They don't want people to vote for Donald Trump. They don't want to see him. They don't want people to see him. And that's what infuriates me. And that's why I was so disgusted with the argument. Oh, they covered it. They didn't cover it.
No.
They're making a decision not to give him airtime. Don't you get it? And it's because they're all in, presumably. I mean, for DeSantis, last night, Laura Ingraham, they're going off on Trump for being too critical of DeSantis. He's turning people off. And listen, I get it. I don't like it either. I don't like these two guys going at each other.
It is unfortunate. In the chat with Hannity, he portrays DeSantis as having come to him tearfully begging for his endorsement, and which may or may not have happened, whatever. But I was talking to somebody just yesterday. I said that Trump has to know that his best play here is gracious yet firm engagement, in which he says, yeah, that DeSantis guy, good Florida governor, good for him, but I was president, I've done this, I'm the better choice. Doesn't that just sound more grown up? Doesn't that sound more? I'm basically asking Mike Tyson to be James Earl Jones, however. It's not going to happen.
He's not going to change his spots, Mark. He is who he is. He's a brawler, and he's going to roll his sleeves up, and he's going to take everybody out that gets in his way. And incidentally, ask Ted Cruz. After he does that, he may just kiss and make up and start playing golf.
I'm sure they will. But it's not 2016. I had the same conversation with somebody else yesterday. It's not 2015 or 2016 where Trump strafed an entire busy field of 15 other rivals. This is one-on-one. This is mano a mano with one other guy who shares a lot of the very same appeal that Trump has. And I think it's going to call for a somewhat different strategy.
Well, we shall see. A busy day, and keep those prayers coming, because let's not apologize for the prayerful mood we're all in. We're praying for Nashville. We're praying for those families. I know there's a North Texas connection with Pastor Scruggs and that beautiful little baby who is now, as you said, in the arms of the Lord. It is an awful, awful day. We got to be clear-headed. Let's lean into our faith, not away from it.
We will be there for you, Mike, and you'll be there for us with a very, very important show we know. Mike Gallagher at 10, as soon as we're done, right here on 660 AM, The Answer. Into the Wayback Machine to take us out of the 7 o'clock hour. Contrasts from Jimmy Dorsey and the Orchestra, 1943. So here's what we got cooking as we get into the 8 o'clock hour. Obviously, with the Nashville shooting in our heads, we'll talk a little school security with Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick. We'll also talk a little gambling, because I'm sitting here talking to all these Republicans, some of whom are totally on board for casinos, others of whom are totally on board for the legalization of online sports betting. Lieutenant Governor Patrick may not be on board for either of them, and that may be an obstacle that you just can't get past. We'll also talk about why more Republicans are not on board to fully protect children from gender mutilation. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, next on 660 AM The Answer.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.